Good evening. Invite you to turn to John chapter 10. If someone was twisting my arm and said, you have to pick a favorite passage in the Bible, it would be John chapter 10. I struggle with that idea, but I don't really think there's, it seems like whatever I'm studying at the moment is my favorite. But I come back to this passage a lot. We're going to read, and I know it's an extended portion, but we're going to read the first 31 verses here. We're going to focus on verses 22 through 31, but to get the flow and all of that, I want to start from the beginning. Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Verse 17. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Verse 22. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. When the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Let's pray. Father, God in heaven, we are grateful to you tonight for your word and for the eternal life and salvation that we have through your Son and the gift that that is to us. And we just ask your grace on this time as we look at this passage, that you would use this time to open our eyes, to be more clear in our understanding. Lord, I pray that this would be a time that honors you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So, like I said, we're going to... Wow, that all of a sudden sounds like I'm... Okay. All right. We're going to focus on verses 22 through 31. And we're going to set the stage here a little bit. Verse 22 says, "Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter." The clue there is, "and it was winter." Does anyone have any idea what celebration this is? The day of dedication. I'll give you a little hint. It is celebrated today in the winter time by the Jewish people. Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. So this is, to my knowledge, this is the only place in Scripture that this day is referenced. It's not one of the feasts or days that God declared in the Old Testament for the Jews to celebrate. This is their day that they celebrate. Hanukkah is a celebration of lights, specifically eight lights, because, well, I'll start a little further back. So if you recall, when Brother Eric was teaching through Daniel, he spoke about a man in history named Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus Epiphanes was an evil, evil, evil man. Antiochus Epiphanes claimed to be God, hence the last name or surname of Epiphanes. He gave that to himself. Epiphanes means manifest, or God is manifest, something to that. In the Greek, that's what it means. And he was the Seleucid leader. I'm not going to get into all the history, but let's start where this story starts. Hanukkah starts. So there was a man named Mattathias, a Jew, who was a priest, and Antiochus Epiphanes' soldier. Antiochus himself wasn't directly related to this, but a soldier came to Mattathias and said, "I want you to sacrifice to this idol." And this priest refused. So the soldier turned and conscripted some other Jew. I don't know whether it was a Jew, a priest or not, but conscripted another one to do so. And as that person came up to do so, Mattathias killed that soldier. And thus started the revolt, or the revolution that we know now as the Maccabean Revolution in Israel. Mattathias became known as a Maccabee, or a hammer, is what that literally means, because he began to fight against the soldiers of Antiochus Epiphanes. Did I say Antiochus began to fight, or did I say Mattathias? Okay, Matthias is the person who began to fight against the soldiers of Antiochus Epiphanes. So a year or so later, Matthias died, and his son Judah, or Judas, took over. And it's interesting, in Jesus' day, Judah or Judas was a very popular name, and this is why. That's why you had Judas Iscariot, you had the other Judas who was not Iscariot as a disciple of Jesus. One of Jesus' half-brothers was Judas, because it was a popular name, because the Jews honored this Judas, who was known as Judas Maccabee. He had roughly 7,000 troops, Jewish troops at one point. Primarily, the war against Antiochus and his armies was a guerrilla war. But at one point, there was a specific battle between 7,000 Jews and 35,000 of Antiochus's soldiers. Judah, or Judas, prayed to God before that battle and said, "Please give us the victory." And the victory was given to them. They went on to recapture Jerusalem, and then in recapturing Jerusalem, remember how bad Antiochus was. He had taken the temple and totally desecrated it, even to go so far as to offer as offerings to his gods pigs on the altar of God of the Israelites. So he had totally desecrated the temple. So Judah, after he took Jerusalem and got the temple back, they spent some period of time cleaning it up and getting it prepared to worship God. And Hanukkah comes about at this time, and the Day of Dedication comes about at this time, because the Jewish tradition is that they found one unopened, uncontaminated bottle of oil that they could use to light the lights in the temple. And that bottle should have only lasted a day, but it lasted 8 days, which is, according to Jewish law and tradition, how long it took to purify oil so that they could use a fresh batch of oil in the temple. So that's where the 8 days, or the eight lights of Hanukkah, comes from. Now, that's all gee whiz information, really, in relationship to our topic, except to note this, that this is the day that they're celebrating it. It's basically an Independence Day for them. And it kind of gives you a clue as to the mindset of the Jews on this day, because they are convinced that Jesus is a blasphemer, and therefore Jesus is desecrating and demeaning God and his temple. And so they feel like they need to put a stop to this. And what better day than the day that they remember that Judah did so to Antiochus Epiphanes? So Jesus is in the temple, or actually on Solomon's portico, which is outside the temple, but he's there at the temple, and these Jews surround him. And they're not friendly. They've kind of had it with Jesus already. You know, we can read other passages in the Gospels where the Jews have sought to kill him already. So what they're asking Jesus a question. They ask Jesus a question here in verse 24. They say, "How long will you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." So they are trying to get Jesus to outright say something blasphemous because they want to take care of him once and for all. And eventually they do, right? But not this time. But so they ask him this question, and quite frankly, they're not being honest about it. They don't really want Jesus' answer. They want him to say something that will allow them to kill him. And we know that because as soon as he does, in verse 30, their reaction is to pick up stones. So what I want to focus on today, this evening, for the next few minutes, is Jesus' response to them. Jesus responds in two different ways to them. First of all, he addresses them pretty much directly. And he says in verse 25, he says, Jesus answered them, and he says, "I told you, and you do not believe." So Jesus is basically saying, "I've already told you who I am, and you've chosen not to believe me." We can go back to John chapter 5. Let's go to John chapter 5, and we'll look at this a little bit closer. John chapter 5 is this section of John chapter 5, verses 17 through 47. And no, I won't read through all of that for you tonight. But this is one of the most clear passages in Scripture by Jesus Christ and his relationship and his equality and his standing as equal with God. Okay? So let's read a couple of these passages, as Jesus proclaims over and over in this, maybe not in quite so many words, but that he and God the Father, are equal. Verse 17 and 18, let's look at those. Jesus said, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father has been working until now, and I have been working.' Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Okay? So just by saying that he's been working with God and calling God his Father, the Jews understood him. So like Jesus said back in chapter 10, "I have told you who I am." They knew back in chapter 5 who Jesus was, because they sought to kill him there for his answer. Two more verses, 37 and 38. Jesus says, "And the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe." God sent me, and you don't believe me. Okay? So his response is, "I've told you, yet you don't believe." He also tells them that he really hasn't kept this from them, right? That's what he's basically saying. There's another passage in John chapter 18, verses 20 and 21, that says, and this is when Jesus is on trial before Annas the high priest, and he says, Let's start in verse 19. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine or his teachings. Verse 20, Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Verse 21, why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. So Jesus, even in at his trial before his crucifixion, made it very clear that he has spoken openly. He's never tried to hide who he truly was. And then Jesus, back in chapter 10, says that the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe. So, even, you know, Jesus said what he had to say, and they didn't believe. But then Jesus performed some amazing miracles in front of them, and they still did not believe. The wonderful things that he did just previous to this in chapters 8 and 9, he healed the blind man who had been blind from birth. They refused to believe the good works that Jesus did. We're going to turn back to chapter 5 again and look at verse 36, which 5:36. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So the things that Jesus did while he was on this earth were proof that he was God's son and that he was equal with God. But the Jews, the Jewish leadership of the time, refused to believe it. One more verse to look at, Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verses 2 through 6. And this is really interesting because Jesus very clearly says, the works prove who I am. Verse 2, and when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you have which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Verse 7, as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? I didn't mean to read that, I'm sorry. But so Jesus very clearly says, tell John about these works that I've done, and that will tell him who I am. And John did. Eventually, he understood that. Back to John chapter 10. Jesus says one more thing in relationship to the Jews' unbelief. In verse 27, he said, verse 26, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. Remember, we read at the beginning of this chapter about the sheep and the shepherd and the good shepherd. The sheep hear his voice and the sheep follow him. The sheep know his voice. We're going to discuss that in some more detail. But the Jewish people who were surrounding Jesus and confronting him at this moment in time, Jesus looked at them and said, "You are not mine. That's why you don't believe. You don't get to be in my sheepfold because you don't believe." So we're going to contrast that with the second phase of his response. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses here real quick. Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." My sheep hear my voice. Complete contrast to the Jews that were antagonizing Christ at that moment. They heard him, but they didn't believe. But Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So why do they follow Jesus? Because they believe. It's the exact opposite. They believe, they've heard the voice of Jesus. When we hear the voice and understand it, we believe. Our ears are stopped up when we don't believe in Jesus. The Jewish people of this day that were surrounding Jesus, their ears were stopped up. Let's go back. I want to look at this hearing my voice a little bit throughout this chapter a little bit. Chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. 3 says, to him the doorkeeper opens, that is, to the shepherd, the good shepherd, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Believers recognize the voice of their Savior. They hear it, they know it, and they follow it. One of the best verses for us Gentiles in Scripture, Jesus says in verse 16, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." So we Gentile believers have heard the voice of our Savior. Our ears were unplugged, and we heard the voice of our Savior. The voice of Jesus is calling us out of the cacophony of the world around us. You know, there are voices that tell us to fear. There are voices demanding our attention. There are voices that cry out temptations, try to entice us. Confusion swirls all around us in this world. Lots of things trying to grab our attention. But the Savior, the Good Shepherd, amidst all this craziness around us, the believer hears the voice of the Good Shepherd, hears the voice of his Savior. It's a voice of promise. Jesus says, "I give them eternal life, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." It's a voice that brings comfort. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm sorry I'm using my phone tonight. I ran out of ink, so I couldn't print my notes. So, no, I'm not looking at Facebook and printing and preaching. But this is the voice of our Savior. We hear a lot of stuff in our world that really wants our attention and wants it bad. But the shepherd calls to us, and what do as believers? We hear, and we obey, and we follow. We follow. You know, in Jesus' day, the first people to follow him were the disciples. Let's look at one of those real quick. I'm only going to be a couple more minutes. But John chapter 1. Verse 37. We're going to start back at 35 just to get a little bit of a flow here. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, that is John the Baptist, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and, seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" So they heard Jesus speak. They heard John declare who Jesus was, the Lamb of God. And in their belief, they stopped following John and followed Jesus. You know, as we have looked at this passage, there's been a couple of things that Jesus has very clearly said here. And as Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them and follow, and they follow me." The idea of hearing the voice of Jesus helps us to understand that we should be listening for that voice. You know, right at the end here, those who were challenging Christ were given what they wanted. He says in verse 30, "I and my Father are one." So Jesus very clearly equated himself with God. And in the Jewish mindset of that day, that was blasphemy. But it's because they were not his sheep. They could not hear his voice. They heard what he said, but it didn't connect on either side of the ears because they had a preconceived notion of what it should be. They wanted this man dead, this man Jesus Christ. They wanted him dead. And their response was to pick up stones to stone him. But I contrast that in tonight's message with the response of the believer. The believer hears and follows. our shepherd. And there's so much more in this chapter to get into that it would take weeks. But there is so much here that our shepherd is doing for us. Our shepherd is giving us eternal life. Our shepherd is protecting us. You know, think about the hireling. When the wolf comes, what does the hireling do? He flees. He's got nothing to do with it. Contrast the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. He doesn't flee. He's there defending his sheep. That's the Savior that we have. So, I ask the question at the end of all of this. Are your ears stopped up like the Jews? Have you refused to believe in Jesus Christ? Or are you a believer and you've heard the voice of your Savior and are following him? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word and for the good shepherd that we have leading us, that is our Savior and has given us this life that we have with you. And I pray that you would, if there's anyone here tonight that has not believed, that you would unstop their ears and let them hear the voice of our Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.